This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come,
longing just to bring.
Love is everlasting, it's an everlasting love. Your mercy is as new as every rising of the sun.
And your loving kindness is better than life.
Your grace is all sufficient, it's an all sufficient grace. Your power and your glory are forever on display.
Your loving kindness is better than life.
Oh, 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 oh.
Of 10,000, you are fair. And nothing in this world could ever measure or compare
to your loving kindness. Your loving kindness is better than life.
All your ways are just, oh Lord.
All your ways are just, oh Lord. You're just in all your ways. And I will lift my hands, oh Lord, in gratitude and praise to your loving kindness. Your loving.
Just, oh Lord,
all your ways are just, oh Lord, you're just in all your ways,
and I will lift my hands, oh Lord, in gratitude and praise
to your loving kindness. Your loving kindness is better than life.
Oh, oh, oh,
oh.
Just, oh Lord.
just in all your ways. And I will lift my hands, oh Lord, in gratitude and praise. Through your loving kindness, your loving kindness.
One more time, say, all your ways are just, oh Lord.
All your ways are just, oh Lord, you're just in all your ways. And I will lift my hands, oh Lord, in gratitude and praise. Through your loving kindness, your loving kindness.
worship a mighty King, a mighty God. Hallelujah. You stood before creation. I'm sorry.
In your hands, you spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure, and you carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to death.
Thank you.
for the beautiful one. We love your name.
This morning, Pastor, I had to go to New Braunfels. I always mention, you know, with every promotion, there is responsibilities. And because he's the zonal coordinator, every now and again, he has to visit all of the other churches. And so this morning, he is visiting Salvation, Jesus Embassy, New Braunfels. Praise God. So that's why Pastor is not here this morning. Let us just keep him in our prayers as he's there, that the Lord will speak through him in Jesus' mighty name. I am bringing you a sermon this morning entitled The Handwriting on the Wall. Amen. The handwriting on the wall. We're going to read the scriptures together, so I would like for you to please stand as we read the scriptures together. We're going to be reading Daniel, NIV version, please. NIV version. Daniel chapter number 5. I'm going to read 5 and 6, and then what we're going to do is we're going to go back and forth. So I'm going to read 5 and 6 to begin, and then you're going to read 7, I'll read 8, you'll read 9, and so on and so forth until we finish. Daniel chapter number 5, we're going to read from 5 to 30. Praise God. We're going to read from 5 to 30. Suddenly the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his knees knocked together and his legs gave way. You're going to read verse 7. Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or tell the king what it meant. The queen, hearing the voice of the king and his nobles, came into the banquet hall. O king, live forever, she said. Don't be alarmed. Don't look so pale. Hallelujah. Verse number 12, this man Daniel, whom the king called Belteshazzar, was found to have a keen mind and knowledge and understanding, and also the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writings mean. I have heard that the Spirit of God is in you and that you have insight, intelligence, and outstanding wisdom. Now I have heard that you are able to give interpretations and to solve difficult problems. If you can read this writing and tell me what it means, you will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around your neck, and you will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom. Listen to what he said. My God. O king, the most high God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. Hmm. But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed with his royal throne and stripped of his glory. But you, his son, O Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. Therefore, he sent the hand that wrote the inscription. This is what these words mean. Mene, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to announce to you that you have read your Bible for the week. Because some of us, that is all we're going to get in this week. Praise God. So I have fulfilled all righteousness and helped you read all your Bible scriptures this week. I think it's important for us to read the Word of God aloud in the house of God, especially when the story, you can't even say it. You know, sometimes it's better to deal with it rather than having he said, she said, read it directly from the Word of God so that you have an understanding before I begin to elaborate on the things that I want to speak to you about. We're talking this morning about handwriting on the wall. So the question that I want to ask you is, in your life and in the particular things that you do, what is the handwriting that is on the wall? What is it that you are doing that may not be pleasing unto God? When we talk about the handwriting on the wall, you know, I've heard people use it as an example and say, oh, you know, when they're trying to tell someone, they say, read the handwriting on the wall, meaning that there's something, usually it's not a positive thing when you say there is a handwriting on the wall. It is a clue to let you know that something is not right, or something you need to fix, or something you need to do something about. Praise God. And so the question this morning that you need to really begin to search your heart for is, what is the handwriting that is on the wall? Not for a group of people, not for the church, but for you as an individual. What are the steps that you are taking in your life? What are the decisions that you are making in your life? What are some of the things that you have changed or added to that is causing there to be a handwriting on the wall? And what is the handwriting saying to you? You don't need for an interpretation of what is happening, because based on your actions, based on the things that you are doing on a daily basis, based on what you have decided to get into or dabble into, you are able to discover by yourself what the handwriting on the wall is. With this particular example, this man of royalty. This king, he decided that because he is in a position of fame or in a position of royalty, he can then begin to do whatsoever he pleases. And so he didn't realize that there is a supreme God. He didn't realize that there is a supreme king that he still has to bow to and that still determines his destiny. And so what he did was he was having a party one day and they were already eating and drinking, but he had to go the extra step. You know, in our lives sometimes we find ourselves like, you know what? The Holy Spirit, let's call it that. Assume that everybody here is born again. The Holy Spirit will be telling you, that's enough. That's enough. Especially sometimes when you're relating with your spouse. Let's start with the men. Sometimes you know that you've said enough to your wife, and there's one more thing that if you say it, she's going to snap. She's going to, oh, you're going to have it. She will go off on you. And the Holy Spirit begins to tell you, Brother Michael, that's enough. Don't say another word. Don't, you know she's going to go off. Don't say another word. And the same thing with the women. There is always that Holy Spirit that's nudging you, that says, that's enough. Don't say another word, because if you say another word, there's going to be a fight tonight. There's always that thing that kind of cautions you to let you know that you have done enough. Don't go too far. Don't go overboard. But we tend to ignore the umpire in our life, which is the Holy Ghost. We tend to ignore and say, you know what, I'm just going to let him have it, or I'm just going to let her have it. Or sometimes it's your supervisor at work, and you're going to say something, one last thing, and they're going to write you up. There is always that umpire of our soul that is letting us know enough is enough, even in sin. I remember, and I love to use myself as an example, because I have gone through many different things, as I am sure you have gone through many different things. I remember that there was, when I was in college, I know what to do and what not to do. I knew what to dabble into and I knew what not to dabble into. I can go and party and go to the dance and dance and dance and shake my booty up and down. But when it came to drugs, I just knew that's just enough. I remember being at parties, and I've said this many times, where they're passing drugs around. And the moment is coming, I'll be looking at that drug as it's going from A to B. And it's almost to me. It's almost to me. It's almost getting to me. It's almost getting. And I'll be looking at it, I'll following it with my eyes. And as they're passing it, I have to already make a decision in my mind that this is how far I am going. The fact that I am here already is bad enough. That's all the bad I'm willing to do. So when that drug is coming, the moment it gets to me, I tell them, no, thank you, because there was an umpire of my soul that was letting me know that that was enough. But every now and again, we cross the line. Every now and again, we go just a little bit deeper, and that deeper is a little bit too much. This man that we read about, he was having a glorious time. Everybody knew he was king. He was doing well, but he had to go too far. He said to them, he ordered them, go and get the goblets, the gold goblets that was in the temple in Jerusalem that my father, King Nebuchadnezzar, brought out to bring. You know, all this time, even though Nebuchadnezzar, his father, he took all of these articles from the temple, the holy temple of God, where people worshiped. Even though he took it, he kept it somewhere. He knew that they were holy. He knew that there was something special about them. He did not violate those things, but his son comes along. And so sometimes we have to know that we must set a limit for ourselves, because our children are coming behind us. Let me tell you, the things that you did, sometimes your children will try to outdo what you've done. The things that you saw that you were doing, you were looking at yourself and you're saying, why is this kid? It looks like he's going in my same direction, but even worse. That's why we have to make certain decisions in our lives. That's why we must make up in our mind how far is too far. Because if we do not make up in our mind what level we are not willing to cross, if we come close to it, our children might overdo it. If you were able to control yourself in one particular area and you didn't go over, it is and might be a possibility that your child might do way more. And that's exactly what happened to this king, Nebuchadnezzar. He took the stuff out. How dare him go and get and take over the land and take the things of God out of his holy temple? How dare he? But he didn't do too much. He didn't defile the stuff. He kept it away. And now his son is reigning and he was having a party. He said, go get those things. I'm sure somebody signaled to him, hey, that was from the holy temple. That's a no-go area, king. Don't let us touch it. He said, stop that. Go and get it. And he decided to serve himself and all of his nobles. And they were drinking and they were calling another god. And then all of a sudden, there was a handwriting that began to. Because when we deal with the things of God, when we begin to disrespect the anointing, let me tell you something. A few months ago, Pastor and I, we were walking through the sanctuary and we were looking at the warehouse. Thank you, the warehouse. And under one little area, we found somebody's underwear that was thrown to the side. And so we were trying to figure out what is going on here. Is it that during the day after food distribution, when nobody is in church, somebody grabbed somebody and they were doing something that they should not have been doing, and then maybe somebody was coming, they quickly got themselves together. What exactly is going on? When we decide to go into, you know, it's one thing to live a life that is unholy. It is one thing to live a life that is not pleasing unto the Lord, but there's some things that must be kept sacred. There's some areas that must be a no-go area. I know we were not sure about that. We don't know why the underwear was there or who put it there. But there was another story that I am so sure of, and they caught the man. He was the choir leader in the church. And one of the other choir members, he was sleeping with them on the altar of God in the church. And he was found out. They were supposed to be having a rehearsal. For whatever reason, I don't know how he did it. Either he canceled it and told that particular girl to come. And they thought he didn't even have any self-control anymore. He didn't feel like this is a good place to stop. If you're already living a life of sin, why not do it elsewhere? Why do it on the altar of God? That may be a little bit too much. Some of us are thinking, well, I will never do that. Well, do you know that there's some children who will bring their boyfriend or girlfriend to their parents' house and they will have sex on their parents' bed? There are people who do stuff like that. Or some people, they'll do some things that you won't even believe. You may think it's one way, but some people may think, well, I didn't think anything of it. But the question I'm asking you this morning is, you know, I'm giving this outrageous example, but in each and every one of our lives, there is a handwriting on the wall. This morning, it is important for us to do a soul searching. To see what is it that may be in my life that is not pleasing unto God. To the point where you don't want it to get to a place where God begins to write or send a message to you that it may not be good for you to receive it. This man thought that he was all of that. He thought it was time for him to begin to defile the things of God. And then all of a sudden, a handwriting appears on the wall, and they're looking at him, and he's looking at them, and the Bible says that he looked so pale. Understanding, even though he does not know what the handwriting is saying, he knew that there was trouble. Immediately we commit a sin sometimes, or immediately we do something that you know, this, I shouldn't have done this. You know at that moment that God may not necessarily be pleased with you. Again, I'm asking you, what is the handwriting that is on your wall? What is it that you're doing that God may not necessarily be pleased with? What standard are we setting for those that are coming after us? What standard are we setting for the next generation? What standard are we setting for our own children? How much is too much? How far is too far? If we look at that scripture very closely, we saw that when Daniel came on the scene, he already knew, because this was not the first terrible thing this man is going to do. It's a matter of just, it's adding up and it's adding up. By the time Daniel got on the scene, Daniel said, look, I don't need anything from you. Pastor would always say that when God is dealing with an individual, and you want to be the one to help the individual, may God have mercy on you. If God is shutting down someone's finances and they're coming to you for help, and you don't seek the face of God to say, Lord, should I give this person my finances? Because not every ground is fruitful ground. There's some ground that is shut up and locked up by God himself. So it is important for you to seek the face of God and say, Lord, should I be a blessing? So unless the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and somebody says to you, oh, I need to pay my rent, for you to take your checkbook right away and say that you have a heart of giving and you write a check right away, I don't think that that's necessarily wise. It is something that you say, okay, well, give me some time. Let me at least go home. You don't even have to tell them that you want to seek the face of God. Go before the Lord and say, Lord, is it well with this individual? I think that it should be, if you are a Christian and someone is coming to you for help, I think it is appropriate for you to ask them, especially when you're in the same congregation, or at least you know that this individual is a Christian. Is all well? Are you paying your tithe? Because usually when somebody's not paying their tithe, it's like they have a basket that has holes in it, and when they pour water in it, everything is just coming out. And so you want to feel like a savior. You want to be a blessing to this person, and this person is having a wrath of God, and you decide to get involved with it, and then it's messing you up. It's important for us to seek the face of God either way, whether to say yes or to say no. It is important for us to seek the face of God. Remember the man of God that was here, Pastor Lowell Okere, that was telling us that he was at the light, and the Holy Spirit was telling him that he should give that person, the homeless person, $20. And he was like, no, I'm not going to give him. He's just going to go and drink with it. And God said, you're going to give him the money because I said so. And he was like, no, Lord. He was acting like Peter. Peter, that God said, this is holy eating. He said, no, Lord, I don't eat this. I don't eat this kind of stuff. Sometimes we get a little bit too religious when it comes to those type of things. So that's why I'm saying either yes or no, it's important for us to seek the face of God. God told that man, he said, the light will not change until you do what I say. And that is to give this man that money. Immediately he gave the man the money. The man said, wow, I didn't know that God still answers prayers. So for that particular incident, God was trying to prove to that homeless person that I am still with you. I have not forsaken you. Amen. But again, we're talking this morning about the handwriting on the wall. There may be some things that we have done that we cannot take back. There are some things that, you know, now that I'm talking about handwriting on the wall, you're thinking to yourself, well, what about the things I've done in my past that I cannot take back? What about those? Are those handwriting against me? The Bible talks about in Colossians chapter number 2, Colossians chapter number 2. You can bring the King James Version this time. Colossians chapter number 2, verse 14. It says, having canceled. King James, praise God. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance. Let's stop there for a moment. Ordinance, looking up the definition of ordinance, it means something that is a decree. It is a decree against you. It is a law, a command. It is an ordained thing. So even not talking about what we've done, sometimes it may have to do with what our fathers have done, what our mothers have done, generational issues have done that are still affecting us. Not necessarily the fact that we have done something wrong, but that the people that were before us, because no matter what, however you look at it or not, what we do, our children are going to benefit from it. What we do positively, our children are going to benefit from it. What we do negatively, it is possible for our children to benefit from it. So when we talk about ordinance, we're talking about a decree or something that is ordained, but it's contrary to you. It says blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. When we look at that scripture, it just looks like, oh, he wiped it out. There is a difference between wiping out and blotting out. Amen? When we talk about wiping out, you know, when you write on those dry eraser board, I'm a nurse, we constantly have to write on the dry eraser board when we enter our patient's room. We have to be able to put our name on the board, and we have to be able to put their doctor's name on the board and who is in charge of that operation for that floor that day. So 9 out of 10 times when I walk into my patient's room and I take a piece of tissue and I'm trying to wipe the eraser board, I'll wipe it so hard and I can still see the name of the last nurse and the nurse before that on there, and I'm trying to wipe it off and it's not wiping it out. So I'm telling you this morning that there is a difference between wipe out and a blot out. When you blot something out, it means it is completely eradicated. When you blot something out, in this case, it's talking about the blood of Jesus blots out the handwriting that is on the wall. That means everything that you may have done that you cannot take back, the mistakes that you have made that may be haunting you. There was a lady who, when she was in the world, she was a prostitute. And whenever she gets pregnant, she go and have an abortion. Whenever she gets, in fact, I think she had over 20-something abortion. To the point where, when they said that when she was telling the pastor, which was a lady pastor, the pastor's stomach herself, she was just bent over like this, hearing the amount of abortion that she had done. Yet this same woman, when she got married, the very week or the very whatever when her and her husband came together, she took in. Whereas somebody else who has never had an abortion, never done anything, they just went for a regular gynecological whatever, and they punctured her womb by accident. It doesn't matter how much of a wrong someone has done in their past. I'm not talking in present, and I'm not talking about, oh, well, this is an excuse to continue to do what is bad. But because of the blood of Jesus and because of the mercy of God, it doesn't matter what the handwriting on the wall says. Your story does not have to end up like that king. That the handwriting on the wall could not be blotted out, nor could it be wiped out. The Bible is letting us know this morning that we are being our handwriting or the handwriting that is on the wall is being blotted out. That means no trace. That means it cannot be traced to you. That means your children will not reap the negative reward. Blotting it out, and it is being nailed to the cross. We do not have to suffer the consequences of our forefathers. We do not have to suffer the things that would normally hurt people from generation to generation. Because we can hide under the blood of Jesus Christ. Because we have hope in Jesus Christ. And Jesus can blot out. Again, there is a difference between blotting and wiping. When you blot it out, it cannot be traced. I want us to pray this morning. And I want you to stand on your feet. This morning when we were praying, I saw a vision very briefly, or it registered in my spirit. And so I want the congregation to pray against accident this week. Accident, car accident, any kind of accident. That we cover the church and you cover yourself in the blood of Jesus Christ, that there will be no accident. I want us to pray that prayer first before we go into the things that our forefathers have done that may be contrary to us, that the Lord will blot it out. First, this morning, we're praying against accidents, that there shall be no accident this week. We cancel accident. We come against accident. There will be no accident. We cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. Everything, our going out and our coming in, it shall be well in the name of Jesus. Our children that are driving, it shall be well with them in the name of Jesus. As we ourselves are driving, it shall be well with us in the name of Jesus. As we are doing activities on our jobs, it shall be well with us in the name of Jesus. We come against the spirit of error. We come against the spirit of mishaps. There shall be no accidents in the name of Jesus, especially this week. There shall be no accidents. We come against that spirit. We bind it in the name of Jesus. There shall be no accidents in the name of Jesus. We come against accidents, mishaps. We cancel it. In the name of Jesus. We cancel every spirit of error in the name of Jesus. We cancel every spirit of error in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of error, every spirit of accident, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass in the name of Jesus. We cancel it. We cancel it. We cancel it in the name of Jesus. We come against accidents in our church in Jesus' mighty name. We come against accidents in our lives in the name of Jesus. There shall be no accident. Every mishap in the name of Jesus, every mishap happening in the name of Jesus, we cancel it. It shall not come to pass. It shall not stand. It shall not stand. Neither shall it come to pass. We come against it in Jesus' mighty name. Take the scripture, put it back, please. It says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, that blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. I want you to pray. Every handwriting that may be in my life that is contrary to me, that is against me, Holy Spirit, blot it out. Let the blood of Jesus begin to blot it out. I will not rip the negative reward. My children will not rip the negative reward. If it was not so, the Bible would not have said it. But it says that it shall be blotted out. The handwriting of ordinance that is against us, that is contrary to our destiny. I want you to pray. Every handwriting that is contrary to me and my family, I ask that the Holy Spirit blot it out with the blood of Jesus. Come on and lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Every handwriting of ordinance. Every handwriting of ordinance that may include accidents also. We blot it out. We blot it out. We blot it out in the name of Jesus. Every accident, every mishaps, everything that may put me back, that may set me back. We blot it out. We blot it out in the name of Jesus. We blot it out with the blood of Jesus. It shall be well in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Let's look at Esther chapter number 8, verse number 8. Esther chapter number 8, verse number 8. Esther chapter number 8, verse number 8. Can you go there, please? Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. So we have blotted out every transgression. We have blotted out anything from even our generation that may be contrary to us, that may fight us. Some demons that are fighting us, we have blotted it out. Now this scripture that we should write how your destiny should be. Write out how your children's destiny should be. Speak it now in prayer. It says, write ye also for the Jews. You are the people that the God is talking about. As you like, what do you want to happen? In the king's name, that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may not be reversed by any man. I want you to begin to say and prophesy into your own life. How you want it to be, what you want. Are you talking about your life? Are you talking about your marriage? Are you talking about your children? Are you talking about your profession? Are you talking about your business? I want you to write with your own mouth how you want your destiny to be. And the Lord of Lords is putting his signet ring on it as you're speaking. Write it with your own words. Write it with your own words. Write it. You don't have to write it down. Write it with your mouth, and heaven is recording it because he's putting a seal on it. Prophesy into your own life. Say how you want it to be. Do you want to continue bleeding? Do you want to have a problem in your life? Do you want this situation to continue? I want you to write it how you want it to be. Write it about your children. Write it about the issues that they're going through. Write it about everything that you want. What you want right now is what I'm telling you. Write what you want, and God is putting a seal on it right now. Hey. Some people are trained from another country by a different profession, and now in America, they're doing something else. What I'm asking you to do right now is write it as it should be, how you want it, that you will begin to go upward. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Blotting out every handwriting of ordinance that is contrary to us, that you have blotted out and you have nailed it to the cross. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you adoration. Blessed be your holy name, Jehovah. You are glorious. Thank you for answered prayers. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you, oh God, that you have saved us by your mercy and by your grace. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For it is in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. I want you to lift up your hands for the blessing. Father, we thank you for such a glorious service. We thank you because your spirit was with us throughout the entire thing. We thank you, oh God, that we will come back again to rejoice and celebrate you as one. We thank you because you are a God indeed, that your yes is yes. And we thank you that because of the devil, your no is also no. Oh, thank you, oh God, because you are a faithful God. In the name of Jesus, we lift you high. In Jesus' mighty name, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May the Lord give you peace in the name of Jesus. May you be blessed. May everything that comes out of your body be blessed. May everyone that sees you call you blessed. You shall be blessed going out and you shall be blessed coming in. Everything that is concerning you is also blessed. May the Lord put an edge of fire around you. No evil eye will look at you. No evil tongue will speak concerning you. Every word that is spoken against you, you will condemn it in the name of Jesus, because the blood of Jesus has condemned it already. It is well with you, spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' mighty name. Let us share the grace and fellowship together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Surely his goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Say to the righteous, it is well with you, it is well with you, it is well with me, in Jesus' name. For the couple that is here for the first time, we don't want to take too much of your time, but we'd like for you to please come into the welcome room just to get to know you a little bit better and to, you know, share a little word with you as far as the scripture, the church is concerned. We're still going to say the scripture of the month, everybody. Praise God. Well, let's say the scripture together. Psalm chapter number 55, verse number 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. The Lord will never suffer us to be moved in the name of Jesus. Don't forget that this week is our celebration for 12 years. Friday is Festival of Life. We're going to be having communion. Please come well-dressed, and the Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a wonderful week ahead.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.